Welcome in, everyone, to the 73rd episode of the Deep Dive Dynasty Podcast. Sorry we missed a week last week, but we are now here with you, your host, Colin and Toby. Toby, how has your draft week been?
Oh, busy. I just wouldn't have it any other way. Just prior to recording this podcast, we just finished off drafting. And
our final one.
The juices are flowing.
Mm-hmm.
I am ready for Football Thursday.
We are, as of recording this, on Monday night, only 3 days away.
Baby, until we get to hear Ed Sheeran sing.
Okay. That's what I'm excited about. Yes, of course. We are finally arriving at the NFL season. When you hear this podcast, you will only be a day away from the season opening. So we thought, you know, to commemorate this occasion, we are not only going to talk about our My Guys, which is something we definitely wanted to do before the start of the season. So we're each going to give you three My Guys. But beyond that, we also wanted to go through some of the best storylines to look at. And we're not just talking, you know, exciting NFL storylines. Will Darnold take revenge on the Jets? No, we're talking about for your dynasty implications. We are going to dive into the stories, the spots where you really need to monitor, because it happens every single year. Week one, dynasty values change quickly. So we've got a list of things we really want you to monitor in that first week of the NFL season. Before we get into it, of course, follow us on Twitter at Deep Dive Dynasty for everything we've got going on, including our list of dynasty rankings that we've been doing over our past bunch of episodes. And I think we need to start this episode off. Toby, you can go first. Give me the My Guy that you are most confident in. And I want to preface this. Because this is a dynasty episode, these players have been selected for, you know, two reasons. It's not just a redraft My Guy where you can get them at great value. Beyond that, because this is a dynasty podcast, these are players that we are confident will accrue in value over the season. So you're going to look at them next season and they will be worth more in dynasty than they are right now, on top of obviously producing for you well in 2021.
I'd like to talk to you about the My Guy I am most confident in. And sometimes it doesn't matter what team you're cheering for. There are players that transcend rankings. And right now, the RB11 off the board, Najee Harris, is my number one My Guy. There is no possible realm of fiction, reality, in which he's not a top 10 running back.
Okay.
I dare say he's a top 3. This is a guy who's going to be an absolute bell cow. It's within his range of outcomes.
Okay. Yes, of course.
Are there issues with the offensive line? Absolutely. Are those issues going to stymie him in terms of all the checkdowns he's going to catch, all the touchdowns he's going to score, and all the extra long runs he's finally going to burst? No. Najee's going to be unbelievable this year, and he doesn't need Ben Roethlisberger to succeed. When Ben retires, hopefully soon, I don't know, it doesn't matter who the incumbent is. Najee Harris is good enough that he will have already established himself as a dominant running threat. And he is an absolute My Guy for me this year, because right now is the only time where we haven't seen him in an NFL game. And I think 365 days from now, I'll be kicking myself if I don't have Najee. But Colin, we got him in our dynasty one, okay? I'm just trying to help the viewers.
So, yeah, actually, I mean, the proof is in the pudding, as they say.
Oh, yeah.
We, just following the NFL draft, we had our rookie draft very soon after, and then right after our rookie draft, where Najee Harris was taken second overall, we went out and we made a move, and we got Najee Harris as part of a package, but he was our real target. And through those trade talks, at the time, all the hype was going nuts for a player like DeAndre Swift. And I had the message come back to me. It was, would you prefer this trade with Swift or with Harris? And I said, no, we want Harris more than we want Swift. And now ADP actually has Najee Harris above Swift. But at the time, I know that was definitely against consensus. And that just shows how hot we are on Najee Harris. I totally agree. There are absolutely O-line issues. But what trumps that is volume. And volume is the most important thing. That's the one aspect of Najee Harris that is locked in. It is possible he doesn't impress. He doesn't translate his talent from college to NFL right away. But regardless, because of this depth chart, because of this coaching staff, he's going to get so much volume that he's as can't miss as anyone in the league, probably besides CMC, Cook, and Kamara. So that's why I absolutely love grabbing him. especially because right now you can get him at RB11, which is a value I love him at.
Steal.
Okay, my top my guy this year. It was really tough for me to separate these three because I love all three of mine. But the guy that I've actually become the most confident in that will be worth more next year than he will this year is Calvin Ridley. And this is a revelation for me because through every aspect of his career until this offseason, I have not been in on Calvin Ridley. I have never had him on a single one of my fantasy teams. I have never targeted him at his ADP, not out of college, and obviously not all the way until the 2020 season. But this year, even though he is going quite high, he is being drafted as the wide receiver 6 right now in redraft. That is only behind, obviously, very elite players. I think he is firmly in my top 5 for this year. And I easily can see him being that number 2. The only guy I can't put him above is Davante Adams. I think the volume that Calvin Ridley will get because Julio has left and because I do not project for Kyle Pitts to have the best tight end rookie season ever. And let's be real, he totally could, but I just don't have that utmost confidence that he will, that his ADP suggests right now. Because of that, and because I'm confident in that Matt Ryan will continue to throw as much as he has been over the last bunch of years, so much of that target share will go to Calvin Ridley that I just think he is an absolute smash. In PPR leagues, I could easily see him finishing the year off with the most receptions in the league. So I am all over his ADP right now. I'm drafting him wherever I can. Unfortunately, I keep not getting him, which is frustrating, but I'm all over Calvin Ridley in 2021.
Barring injury, every indicator points towards Calvin Ridley having a career year.
Mm-hmm.
Potentially best ever.
I'm all over him. I love him.
I hear you, man. I'm in. Speaking of wide receivers, let's look at the opposite end of the spectrum. I feel like most of us believe in Calvin Ridley, but...
Yeah, no hot take.
You know, it's not super hot, but I'd like to talk to you about the 51st wide receiver off the board. I've talked to you about him before.
Yeah, this isn't a first.
I have talked to you about this guy when he was being drafted, when I believe he was called a man destined for the CFL. I've been believing in this guy for a very long time, and I think he's going to prove it this year. At the bare minimum, it is slanderous to be drafting this guy in the 51st, let alone the 40s, in my personal opinion.
At the wide receiver position.
At the wide receiver position, of course. He's 23 years old. What did he do in week 17 last year? 13 targets, 11 catches. He's up and coming. Before I even say his name... Here's some people that potentially are going to beat him out for his role as the wide receiver 2 on his team. Okay? Damir Bird. Marquise Goodwin. Rashad Perryman, perhaps.
Legends of the game.
No, no, and no. I'm talking about Chicago Bears wide receiver Darnell Mooney. I'm telling you right now, there's going to come a moment in week 4 when he's catching a 70-yard long bomb, taking it to the house. The announcers are screaming, "It's Darnell time again." And I want you to think back to this podcast. Darnell Mooney is much better than the 51st best wide receiver. The offense is only getting better. Darnell Mooney is no longer going to be overshot or thrown errant balls by Mitch Trubisky. There's no chance he does not do much better, and he's much better than wide receiver 51.
Yeah, I have a hard time disagreeing. The hype has been getting louder and louder for Mooney, and that makes a lot of sense. The biggest aspect I think you didn't talk about there is... It's not just the transition away from Trubisky into Dalton. You have the potential of what we see as an absolute stud quarterback in Justin Fields. I love the guy's deep ball. That's especially where Mooney will excel, even though he probably will see a decent amount of sweeps and short routes as well. Justin Fields can really unlock the fantasy potential for Mooney to make him so much more than that boomer bust type of wide receiver too you see on so many teams. He fits that mold into that smaller guy, but if this offense can become that dynamic offense that obviously this coach has shown in flashes and what we project Justin Fields can lead, he can lead one of these elite offenses, then having that wide receiver 2 is so valuable. Then another small aspect in terms of how he could be valued a year from now is that Allen Robinson is on a franchise tag. So as much as I think that chance is small that Darnell Mooney's a number 1 next year, it exists. It's possible.
It's not impossible.
So yeah, I can't disparage your great call when he was coming out of the 5th round to the Bears and you were all over this guy. You know, I secede. You won that one. Good job.
Good job, Mooney.
My number two pick for my guys this year, someone that I really, really, really love, especially where you can get him in redraft leagues, but as well in my super flex leagues, and that is Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill, 33 years old, being drafted as the 12th quarterback off the board. And I guess what I'm saying here is I really like the people impacted by Julio Jones, because, you know, Calvin Ridley benefits from his departure, and the player that benefits from his arrival is Ryan Tannehill. I am not confident that they will continue to run at an insane rate that they had the last couple years. Honestly, there's a very good chance that even an elite athlete like Derrick Henry cannot handle that amount of run. People cannot always run for 2,000 yards a season. That's pretty difficult on the joints. And so I think this offense will be slightly more pass heavy than we've seen previously. Ryan Tannehill has been ridiculously efficient, like Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson level efficient since he's taken over at quarterback on the Titans. It's a far cry from what we saw from him in Miami with Adam Gase, and I expect him to completely continue that. What is so shocking to me about Ryan Tannehill is that ADP hasn't really adjusted to these changes. It didn't move much when he got one of the best wide receivers in the league.
Julio.
It doesn't make sense that he is still being drafted at the very end of redraft leagues. You can get him in a single quarterback league with one of your last couple picks, assuming you're in a league that isn't taking many backups, which most competitive leagues aren't at this point. So I am so happy in any league like that where I can just wait to one of my last picks. I don't need to spend up on a high-end guy because I think you can get Ryan Tannehill with one of your last picks, and I think he will be a top eight quarterback in 2021. I'm really hyped on what he can bring with his legs and what he can now bring with his arms, thanks to the arrival of Julio Jones.
I'm with it. You watched Ryan Tannehill on NFL's Top 100, and I'd be willing to bet that that only goes up.
I'm all over the guy. Love it.
Yeah. My guy is a man who, if you've already drafted, you can pick him up off your waiver wire. In fact, I guarantee that he will be flying off waiver wires in every redraft league soon. He's the tight end 21 in redraft, 27 years old. The reason I have him is because of opportunity, and because Russell Wilson, elite quarterback, is throwing him the ball. With the departure of both Hollister and Olsen, Gerald Everett, the unbelievable wide receiver slash tight end phenom, never really broke out in the LA Rams system.
No.
Didn't happen. Russell Wilson is going to throw balls to Metcalf and Lockett like nobody's business, and I understand that. Dwayne Eskridge is not going to come in and demand a huge target share. Russell is going to need a third option to be throwing balls to, and that third option is going to become Gerald Everett. It does not make sense that such a good passer on such a good offense is having his primary tight end completely forgotten about in drafts. I look so many times at even someone like Mike Gesicki, who definitely has better athletic measurables,
but both have ridiculous athletic measurables. Everett's are incredibly good, too.
Absolutely. I want Russell Wilson throwing him the ball.
More than Tua.
More than Tua. The reason why guys such as Robert Tonyan can break out is because if you have an elite-level quarterback who's operating at a high level in a good system, they can get the ball to the tight end a ton. This is what Gerald Everett can become. Tight end 21 is ridiculous. The man is free. And what I'm saying is, if you are in some league that has super deep benches, or you just need to start streaming tight ends, get Gerald Everett before it's too late. Because this man, I mean, bare minimum, he's going to be top 15 tight end.
I like it. And obviously in Dynasty, yeah, he's a great upside number two to take if you're doing a startup or just looking for someone to trade for. When you're in the range of those 20s, like where you're drafting Everett, everyone has high risk. It's obvious that all of these guys could become nothing. But the upside that Everett has, not many others have, because he can become that number three target for this potent offense. And sure, like Disley's still there, but he was there all last year and didn't really do anything. I really like the opportunity for Everett. And you're right, he is the type of guy that at the tight end position, you just have your few locked in players, and then you have this potential for explosion down the board. And Everett has one of the highest ceilings if he truly hits, and then obviously he's going to balloon in dynasty value. So I think he's a good pick as well. So that's 5 out of 6. And with the 6th, my guy for us this season, I'm staying at the position And I'm going to go with someone I've definitely talked up a lot this offseason. Someone that, again, we have made dynasty moves for, mm-hmm. partially dependent on the fact that I absolutely believe that TJ Hawkinson will step into that elite tier of tight ends this season.
Hockules.
He is being drafted as the tight end 6 in all formats. That is behind Kyle Pitts. That is behind Mark Andrews, firmly in that number 6 spot. And I will say, in redraft, I think totally reasonable to go with Mark Andrews now that the other receiving options around him have been going down. But long term, give me Hawkinson all day long. I am confident that he is going to see a super high target share. I expect him to be the number one target in this offense because the guys around him, he already talked about Breshad Perriman on the Bears now. That's because he was cut by the Lions. And the other guys, you've got Tyrell Williams. Not only did he opt out last year, so he hasn't played in a while, but do you remember what he's done in the last bunch of years? You probably think, oh yeah, he was kind of useful. Tyrell Williams hasn't been in the top 45 wide receivers since 2016. So we're talking 5 years ago now. Yeah, he has not shown anything for quite a long time. And then you've got Amon-Ra St. Brown, a prospect we quite liked. You know, he can easily be a solid contributor at the next level, mm-hmm. but he's a fourth round wide receiver. This isn't someone who's locked into a high target share. He got DeAndre Swift. Sure, he's going to see some work too, but that's still just a running back. He's not going to be hyper-targeted in the way that Hawkinson can be. I am all about the current situation, the talent. I expect him to get the type of payday that Mark Andrews just got, so he's going to be locked into the system as this team grows, gets better and better, and Hawkinson will continue to be the focal point of this offense. I am absolutely pumped to get him as my fourth tight end off the board.
I think the number one thing that excites me about Hawkinson is just that there really isn't another option. There's no one who's going to be pressing him for other tight end snaps in terms of catching the ball, of course, but no. DeAndre Swift is going to catch a lot of balls, and that's kind of it. Obviously, wide receivers are going to catch the ball, and Goff is going to have to spread it out, and I understand that. But you look at teams such as the Chiefs who are able to start channeling their offense through a tight end, such as the Niners. This is what the Lions can do. And yeah, I wouldn't be too surprised if he was moving up from that tight end 6 position.
Okay, now we're going to transition over from our My Guys to looking forward to this week number one. And we're going to do so by talking about the specific battles and situations you need to watch in this first week of NFL games. And sometimes that is just looking at fantasy production, but beyond that, there are times where you just want to see usage, and even if the fantasy points don't come, you really have to be paying attention on the process behind. Like, maybe a guy gets 10 targets. That's really important. Even if he only catches 2 of them, it's still super important. So don't only watch the box score. You got to be looking deeper at how some of these situations play out. And the first one is going to be more of the eye test. Our first note here that you got to watch are some of these players returning from significant injury.
There's quite a few marquee names here.
Oh, absolutely. But we're going to talk about 5 specifically here. The first couple, I think, come immediately to mind because they're quarterbacks. You've got Dak Prescott and Joe Burrow. Dak Prescott, you know, we've been watching him on Hard Knocks, and everything out of the Cowboys camp is now that he's looking fully healthy, but there has been some questions throughout. Not only, of course, on his broken leg from last season, but also his shoulder injury that he's dealing with right now. I don't expect that the shoulder injury is anything to significantly affect his dynasty value, but it's important to monitor the trust that he has in this newly repaired leg. And I think specifically in terms of the amount of ceiling he has for fantasy going forward, is he still willing to run at the rate that we've seen in his career so far? Because to be one of those truly elite quarterbacks,
you need your legs.
You still need to use your legs. So that's definitely number one guy you want to watch. And luckily, that's going to be Thursday night. So all eyes will be on that performance.
There's going to be a moment when he breaks out of the pocket and starts to run and mm-hmm. scramble, and yeah, it's going to be exciting, man.
Twitter will be blowing up.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
The second guy, obviously, Burrow, and this is an injury that has me even more concerned, to be honest. Yeah. Maybe not as much in terms of is he ready to play week one, as there were some questions with Dak, but more so, will this significant injury to his knee genuinely affect him for a long time? So I want to see him confident in the pocket. It's more about that mental side, if he's comfortable moving around within the pocket, avoiding tackles as he did so well in college and even slightly in his first year.
Yeah, I'm remembering a 33-yard run against the LA Chargers where he
scrambles out, yeah. Yeah, we really need to see that confidence back, because I really do think the upside for Burrow this year, because of the weapons around him, he could easily be that type of player that we're currently drafting Tom Brady to be. Okay, maybe he's not a runner, but he's going to pass for so many yards and so many touchdowns that he's going to still be great for fantasy.
Yeah.
That could be Joe Burrow, realistically. That offense could become very potent.
Next name up on the list, Saquon Barkley. We got to talk about
him. Of course.
All the news on Saquon has been slightly murky, a little convoluted, and I don't think anyone, including Saquon, knows what we're going to see week one.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, not only I would say are you going to have to look at how good does Saquon look, but also how willing is this offense to put him out there in all situations as they were doing before his recent injuries.
And of course, it's hard not to put arguably the best talent out there on the field at all times. But there's been a lot of talk about easing him back into the season. Mm-hmm. How much of that is true? Very interested to know.
What frightens me more is I wouldn't be surprised if you don't see him out there all the time. Like, if they truly are easing him in, that's okay. Especially if you're looking long-term dynasty value. But what freaks me out more is if he doesn't look the same, there's also been reports, not just that they're going to ease him in, but that their game plan is now, we can't use him like we used him before. And we got to consistently pull back on his touches. And if that's a long-term trend, he's not going to be one of those top two running backs like we saw in the past. We also have Courtland Sutton, who just another guy we haven't seen in a whole year. He was injured in week two last year against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it's hard for us to be anything but confident at this point, because the beat report has been that he's been really solid, but I just want to see it on an actual NFL field.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we're going to talk about this more later, but how much does Bridgewater look his way will also be something absolutely to monitor.
The one thing I will say, Colin, you actually sent me a video of him cutting in the preseason.
Yeah, good route.
The man looks ready. Mm-hmm. He does seem to trust that leg, and, you know, that's always great to see. But NFL pace, it's an all-new thing.
Totally. And the final player here, I don't have huge question marks about it, but OBJ. I would say the real question is not to see, does his play go back to what we saw for the first half of last season before his injury? Because he was still dealing with some nagging stuff throughout last season. The question really to see is OBJ back? Is the one that was a star in the league? Is he finally healthy and going to emerge like we hoped he would in Cleveland a couple of years ago? That is what I want to monitor. I think he is in game shape. Like, he'll be fine. He'll be out there. He's back from the injury. But is he actually 100%? And if he is, will he be back to that elite talent that we've seen in previous years? That's what I want to monitor week one.
Next topic of discussion is all the quarterbacks in new situations.
Mm-hmm. And with all these guys, partially it's about them and just how good do they look and if they have dynasty value. But even more so, I would say, for most of these guys is, who are they looking at? What are their tendencies in a new system? All of that matters so much to the weapons around them. So first of all, you got Stafford. And on the flip side, I guess you also have Jared Goff, even though I'm not that worried about Jared Goff's weapons.
Right now, to be honest, I view them as night and day difference. Yeah. I feel like Matthew Stafford is heading towards brighter fantasy futures. He's almost getting doubly better than where I think Jared Goff is going.
Yeah. The only difference that makes them a little closer is I feel like Stafford, the negative is that he now has such a good defense. He might not have to be the gunslinger he always was in Detroit.
Sure.
But not only does he have two great weapons, he has a system that I think can help him be so much more efficient and much more effective as a passer. But yeah, my real question for him is he still going to split it between Kupp and Woods? Is he going to really particularly favor one guy? Because the potential for this offense to just be so much better with Stafford, I could see all the weapons around him, and that includes Henderson and even maybe Sony Michel, be really electric in this new LA Rams offense. Then with Goff, I want to see if there's still a lot there. Do you have much of a dynasty asset in Goff? And for the weapons, you know, I mean, my hope is that he just targets the hell out of Swift, Hockenson, of course, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. But
sure.
Yeah, I really want to see, you know, what way he's looking when he's under center. You also got Wentz in a new situation. And with the absence of T.Y. Hilton, the top two receivers there are going to be Michael Pittman and Paris Campbell. So I want to see, is he pushing the ball downfield like he has previously? Is he going to play it a little safer, more underneath?
I think Wentz is in trouble this season.
Interesting. Well, the one thing he does have that I would counterpoint that with
is... unbelievable O-line?
A fantastic O-line, sure. And a running game that can really insulate him.
Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, I don't know if he'll be asked to do a crazy amount. He won't need to play hero ball like he did in Philly, but there are definitely questions with him. Just, does he look good? Is such an important question, because previously he had looked good, and then last year he looked awful. He looked like a guy who was on the brink of being out of the league type of level of play. So you really want to see a bit of a bounce back for Wentz and, you know, for these receiving options. And that even goes to like Hines and, of course, Jonathan Taylor. Yeah. It's how much is he checking down and all that. We want to see his tendencies in this offense. It's also Bridgewater. And my biggest question there is, who does he prefer between Jeudy or Sutton? That matters so much. Also, I have a good amount of excitement for Noah Fant, so I want to see how much he looks that way.
Sure, yeah.
All of these questions are just so interesting to me. Got Fitzpatrick in Washington, and again, is he going to continue to hyper-Terry? Is he going to use Curtis Samuel a lot? Just so many questions around the weapons around him more than the player himself.
You got Sam Darnold. Yes, you got the revenge match week one, but you also Darnold surrounded by amazing weapons now.
Yeah, is he going to target the slot heavily? Is
CMC, Robbie Anderson, Terrace Marshall.
I'm very excited that he does have like four of the best receivers. Like, there's not many quarterbacks that have four receivers around him as good as Darnold has. So can he turn his career around is another massive question.
It is the definition of a make or break season. If Darnold is bad this season, if the Panthers are poor this season, Darnold's gone.
He's done. Yeah, he's going to lose the job. 100%.
Obviously, you got Trevor Lawrence, 101.
Zach Wilson, too.
Yeah.
You know, these rookies. And that also goes to Mac Jones. And for these guys, of course, their weapons are all interesting, but you need to see what you got in these early picks that you've invested in the Superflex. So all of these quarterbacks, I'm especially scouting them in particular, because long-term, regardless of what weapon you might be cheering for, like if you have Laviska Shenault and you're really hoping for a breakout, well, the first step of that is that Lawrence needs to look good. So that's the main thing I'm scouting. And then, you know, the other two of the top five quarterbacks we haven't talked about, these rookie quarterback battles. And two quarterbacks, the, you know, Garoppolo maybe isn't in a new situation, but I am very particularly watching Garoppolo and Dalton, and do they look like quarterbacks that are going to hold down this job? Particularly Dalton, if he can somehow perform well against the Rams, that might make them hold off on Fields a little bit longer than I was initially projecting, but realistically, I think he's going to get wrecked, and I think Fields is going to be in there pretty quick, so yeah. These two guys I'm definitely looking into because, you know, as dynasty managers, of course, we want to get those rookies in there. These are guys we've drafted and we're excited about.
Wait.
So, yeah, those are absolutely situations to go on.
The next topic to think about are backfields to monitor. And there's a lot, as there always are in this interesting time of the season when your draft picks in the 6th round become shared committees with draft picks in the 14th round.
Totally.
Can be very frustrating. First and foremost, the LA Rams. What is going to happen?
Yeah, will Sony make a huge impact?
Sony Michel's a guy that I'm picking up everywhere off waivers, and am I going to look like a genius by week 3, or will he just be waiver wire fodder and I won't even worry about it? We got to figure that out.
Mm-hmm. Henderson's value has also gone way up, and he could very quickly lose his job. Like, this is absolutely possible.
Green Bay Packers. Is A.J. Dillon a threat to Aaron Jones in terms of his production, or is he solely complementary?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the way I look at this is Aaron Jones, at least, he's going to have the role he had last year.
Yeah.
But you have this absence of Jamal Williams, and does A.J. Dillon eat up a lot of that work, or will Aaron Jones level up and become an absolutely nuts fantasy asset because he'll get even more work? So that's really what I'm looking for there. You got the Steelers. We already talked about Najee. The only question is Najee really going to get all of the work?
My prognostications, my guy results hinge on him getting that. So I await week 1.
Uh-huh. I hope he becomes that top tier of player that never leaves the field.
Yes.
But you never know. You've also got the Ravens. And of course, this is a backfield that has a lot of turmoil now.
Oh, goodness gracious.
You've got Gus, who's now the starter. You've got Tyson Williams looks to be the backup. And now with Justice Hill, well, obviously J.K. Dobbins being down, apparently they're looking at signing a veteran backup as well. So
will it be Lev Bell, Devonta Freeman?
Whoever it is, I'm just interested in seeing how this snap share plays out. Because as much as I think this is a team committed to a committee, perhaps, maybe they don't have a lot of trust in these veterans. They don't have a lot of trust in Tyson Williams. And Gus Edwards is going to absolutely run buck wild. That's possible, too.
Yeah, why not? We got the Washington football team backfield. Mm-hmm. As a owner of Gibson in a lot of different leagues, I'm sure hoping it's just Gibson season.
Yeah.
But will McKissick continue to catch 20 passes a game for some reason?
Yeah, who knows? And also a side note, will Jarrett Patterson come in and take that work that was left behind by Peyton Barber?
Please no.
Or will that also get eaten up by Gibson? These are all interesting questions to monitor week one. Another team, we got the Bengals, and that is, okay, there's a departure of Gio Bernard. Is it all going to be eaten up by Mixon? Is he going to become one of those true, absolute bell cows? Or will one of these guys like Samaje Perine or Chris Evans eat into that work or get that receiving work? These are all important questions for Mixon's value. You also have the Raiders brought in Kenyon Drake. And
thanks, Gruden.
Yeah, it's a very sketchy situation to monitor. I think that Jacobs will still see a similar amount of work and that Drake will eat up a lot of the rest of that backup role. But again, this is a big question mark. Who knows? Drake could be the starter on this team, as crazy as that is.
I don't see a world in which Jacobs is healthy that Drake usurps him. I think Jacobs is too good.
I sure don't either, but crazier things have happened. But yeah, no, I definitely don't project that either.
You got the Lions backfield and Jamal Williams. New acquisition. How much is he going to affect the team? Jamal Williams is essentially an older and slightly slower DeAndre Swift. I view them like they are very similar builds and types of players. Mm-hmm. And they're also just not only the two running backs there. Will the Lions be what is projected to be a dumpster fire? Yeah. And teams that are dumpster fires typically do not produce good fantasy running backs.
Mm-hmm. Although Swift could maybe catch a lot of passes. That's my
hope.
Yeah,
that's very true.
We all got the Jaguars, who, they, regardless of even before Etienne's injury, were going to be a very interesting backfield to monitor, but they still are, because Carlos Hyde looks to be a backup who's actually going to spell the starter in James Robinson a decent amount. But Urban Meyer would have seen how James Robinson was the only thing with life on this Jacksonville team last year, and he can clearly handle a huge workload. So it's also in his range of outcomes that he just eats up all of that work yet again. You've also got the Broncos, and it's a clear veteran versus rookie battle. Will Javonte Williams get work right away, or will they start off with Melvin Gordon and slowly bring in Javonte Williams more and more as the year goes on? That's the question I really want to see week one.
Falcons time. Is it Mike Davis and the quads versus everyone?
Yeah, well, really, I don't know how well you've noticed their cut situation. They cut...
They're cutting Quadri Olsen.
Yeah, and also every other running back on the entire team.
Yes.
And then they signed Wayne Gallman.
What does this mean?
So, Wayne Gallman, at least last year, looked kind of good. Like, yep. Not much worse than Mike Davis looked. So, is this going to be all Mike Davis? Or will Wayne Gallman spell him? Or will Wayne Gallman take over the job? Because I think that's absolutely possible. It's not like Mike Davis is someone you look at as an absolute locked-in starter before this offseason. There's definitely a lot of questions to be asked here.
I think that Mike Davis is going to be one of the steals of people's drafts this year. I think if you're getting Mike Davis, even in late sixth type of deal, you're going to be happy.
Yeah.
I don't know, man, but...
I'm scared. I'm always scared with him, but yeah, it's absolutely possible.
The 49ers backfield, always a bit of a mess. Or at the very least, you have a lot of assets being used.
At least it's a productive mess.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, no shame against the Niners. Shanahan knows what he's doing.
Uh-huh.
And with Trey Sermon being added to the mix, one of the more exciting things.
Totally.
Yeah. I think back to the stat of how many times in recent years a rookie running back has led the league in rushing yards. And Trey Sermon does not seem poised for this, and yet they chose to go out and pursue this asset. Raheem Mostert is only getting older.
Mm-hmm.
Could Trey Sermon change up this whole formula that the Niners have? I don't think so, but there's so much chatter and talk about it. you have to keep an eye on that Niners game to see who's getting the ball and how much.
Yeah, I think he could totally explode. I don't know if I'm with you on any potential of leading the league in rushing.
I don't think that much. No. Don't quote me on this. It won't happen. I'm against it. I don't want it.
And then a bit of a mess that is not very productive, the Jets backfield as well. You've got Tevin Coleman,
oh dear,
Ty Johnson, and Michael Carter. And, you know, there was a while where we really thought Michael Carter sure looks poised to be the absolute starter for this team. And now it's starting to look more and more just based off of reports that he's the third guy. So we have to see, does that come to fruition? Because I don't think that Tevin Coleman or Ty Johnson, especially a combination of the two, will provide a lot of fantasy points. And Michael Carter is that one potential saving grace. But if he's stuck behind two other guys, it's definitely tough to see the path for him to really return on the rookie pick you had to select him with this year in Dynasty Drafts.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's our main storylines we wanted to point out. But as always, before we end this episode, we do have a Dynasty Buy of the Week. Here's my first hint, Toby. This wide receiver is listed at 6'2 and 210 pounds.
Oh, he's a beaver. Terrace Marshall.
It's not Terrace Marshall, but I do love me some Terrace Marshall.
Highest graded rookie from Pro Football Focus.
In the preseason.
In the preseason.
Yeah.
Please. Very yes. True.
Second hint. This player's ADP has consistently been falling over the last few weeks, largely because he's been injured, missing preseason games.
Kenny Golladay.
Not Kenny Golladay, but, you know, those two hints, they make a lot of sense with Kenny Golladay. Here is hint number three. Once this player is off IR, I expect him to be his team's number one target. His top two competitors at wide receiver are both considered first-round busts.
I'm trying to think of a team that has two first-round busts.
Mm-hmm.
First guy that pops to mind is Henry Ruggs, but I don't think he's paired with another first-round bust. You've got Corey Davis on the Jets. I'm trying to think of who's on IR other than Crowder's. I just don't think Crowder's that heavy or that tall. First round bust also speaks to N'Keal Harry of the New England Patriots. I go with Jacoby Myers.
It's not Jacoby Myers. I like the thought. I'm pretty sure Aguilar was a first rounder. So once you said that, I was like, okay, that makes some sense. Okay, here's hint number four. This player is a rookie.
Oh, Mims and it's Elijah Moore.
No. One, Elijah Moore is not on IR. And two, Mims was a second rounder last year, not a first rounder.
I leapt.
Quick to jump the gun. Here is number five. And I'm sorry, listeners, this one may not help you as much as it helps Toby. Toby, I just drafted this player at the end of my draft so he could immediately go on my IR spot.
It's going to be Rashad Bateman.
It only happened, you know, half an hour ago, so I thought Toby might be really good.
Marquise Hollywood
Marquise
Brown.
And Sammy Watkins is the other first
the dub.
Wide receiver.
I should have got this. I should have got it.
Yeah,
I am mad.
I thought you were going to get it before hit five.
You know, I'm just so excited about football. It's my excuse.
Mine was wandering. He's like, ooh, Elijah Moore is going to be fun to watch. Elijah Moore. Nope, fifth hint guess for Toby, unfortunately, but he can get me back with difficult hints next week, so he won't really stick it to me and get revenge. That's it, though, everyone. That is our 73rd episode of the Deep Dive Dynasty podcast, our final episode of the off-season,
because
it's time for the season, baby. We're only a couple days away. Thank you all so much for listening, as always, and we will talk to you again next week. Have a good one.
Peace.